is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour in this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. Talk some football last hour, talk some baseball this hour. David Cohn, five-time World Series champ, and he's an analyst for the Yankees. After the no-hitter last night by the Yankees, Domingo Germán, a perfect game against the Oakland A's. Poll question for the final hour is going to be what? Seton O'Connor. By the way, we got a source telling us that Victor Wembanyama's official height without shoes on is 7'3.5". Don't know if you were waiting for that, but I would round up. I'd round up to 7'4". I'm more interested in how much he weighs, not how tall he is. All right, Seton, final hour. What do we have?
Well, we've got still from the first hour, perfect game is more skill or luck. Right now it's 64% saying luck.
Okay.
Which is really interesting.
Well, I asked David Cohn that because he threw a perfect game. How much is luck and how much is skill?
It feels like it's exactly backwards. It's got to be at least 70% skill and then some luck.
I would say it's, well, you know what? I'm not going to give my number yet. I'm going to bring in David Cohn, ask him since he threw a perfect game. David, thanks for joining us. If we were going to go the percentage of skill and luck in throwing a perfect game, what would you say that percentage would be?
Well, it's an interesting point because not every pitch thrown in a perfect game is a perfect pitch. So when you do make a mistake, the hitters have to cooperate, right, and miss it or pop it up. And certainly there were a few of those last night for Domingo Germán. But I will say this, there's much more stress in a perfect game. Every time you get to a three-ball count, you know you can blow it with a walk. Whereas, you know, if you walk somebody in a no-hitter, you still have the no-hitter. So we've seen no hitters thrown with 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 walks sometimes. But that's different in a perfect game, much more pressure. So I would say the skill is more important in a perfect game because of the pressure than a no hitter where you have margin for error if you walk a guy.
Well, I'm wondering more pressure is felt by the pitcher in a perfect game or his teammates in a perfect game?
That's a great question, Dan. I know I watched David Wells throw his perfect game the year before mine. We went back-to-back years, 1998, 1999. And I was a wreck watching his perfect game in the dugout. I mean, I was just a nervous wreck. When you're actually participating, when you're the pitcher in a perfect game, you are just desperate to maintain your focus. Nobody wants to talk to you. You're anxiety ridden when you're the pitcher in that game. So maintaining your emotions is a full-time job. Whereas actually watching it, you allow all those negative thoughts to creep into your mind. You know, what if he blows it? What if something happens? You know, you have more time to think if you're actually watching it.
As a pitcher, when you take the mound, is your goal to throw a perfect game every time you take the mound? I mean, do you have to have that mindset when you go out there?
Well, yeah, I think your goal is to win every pitch. Your goal is to not walk anybody. Your goal is to consistently get ahead in the count, to maintain count leverage. So, yeah, in that sense, I guess, you know, you certainly want to win every at-bat. You want to get everybody out. that you can. And then when you do give up hits, you know, you kind of brush it off because that's to be expected. But yeah, your mentality is sort of going in, strike one, I'm going to get this guy out, I'm going to get ahead of him and then get him out and stay on top of the hitters all day long.
What do you remember about your perfect game? It came against the Montreal Expos. Who was in the lineup that day that you worried about?
Well, Vladimir Guerrero was in that lineup, a Hall of Famer. Jose Vidro, a really good player, an all-star second baseman, was in that lineup. So those guys, those two really worried me more than anything. And Vladimir Guerrero presented an interesting problem because he could hit everything. He was the best bad ball hitter since Yogi Berra. You know, Yogi could hit everything over his head, you know, almost one hop it. We saw Vladimir Guerrero get a hit when the ball actually bounced one time. So no matter what, you know, which pitch I threw, he was the guy I worried about because he could hit anything.
Did you use sticky stuff back then?
Not a lot, really. Occasionally on a cool night, I would grab the rosin bag that was in the batter's box circle because it had a little pine tar on it. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you could say, yeah, I did at times use a little bit of pine tar with rosin mixed on a cold night. But we didn't realize how much it could help your spin rate. We didn't know anything about spin rates back then. Or if we did, we didn't know how to measure them. So certainly I was worried about blisters, too. If you use too much stickum, is that going to rip the pads off my fingers? I was more worried about, worried about messing up my fingertips and getting blisters than anything else with sticky stuff.
I'm wondering why baseball doesn't come out with their own products, that these are the only products you can use, and that's it. This is going to be approved by hitters, this will be approved by pitchers, and anything after that, you're going to face a really long suspension.
Yeah, I think Major League Baseball feels like they kind of have done that with just the rosin bags that are on the mound itself, and that's what they're policing this year. You can't have your own rosin bag in your locker. You can only use the one on the mound. You can't weaponize the rosin. If it gets too sticky, we're going to bang you for that too. The problem with Major League Baseball is they're obsessed with strikeout rates. The strikeout rates are so high in the game today that if they present a new product or a sticky baseball like the one they have in Japan, a pre-treated baseball, that the pitchers are going to take advantage of that and increase the strikeout rates. So I think that's why Major League Baseball is reluctant to do exactly what you said, Dan, and sort of come up with a universal product that works. They're worried about pitchers weaponizing whatever they introduce into the game and increasing the strikeout rates.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that because there's no shame in striking out anymore. You know, it's not a big deal. Used to be, it was like, you know, hitters would hang their heads as they walk back to the dugout. When did it change that it's not an embarrassment to strike out 150 times?
Yeah, it's sort of a perfect storm of things. I think the underrated facet is the strike zone itself. Back in the 90s and 80s, it was more of an east and west strike zone. And if you threw a pitch right down the middle and the catcher caught it at his mask, that was an automatic ball, much less high curveballs that were up that way that are called strikes nowadays. So it's more of a north and south strike zone. We don't get those pitches off the edges like we used to. I mean, Greg Maddux and John Smoltz and Tom Glavine and myself, we all lived off the edge of thigh high off the outside corner. That was where the margin was. We got pitches called off the plate strikes, but we never got the high strike called. So that's the difference. The power, pitchers are throwing harder than ever before. The strike zone is higher than it's ever been before. Really, you have to go back to Jim Palmer, back with the outside chest protectors. Remember the bubble chest protectors?
Yeah.
Lee Wire, those old umpires. That was a higher strike zone back then in the 60s and 70s. But pitchers didn't throw as hard as they do nowadays. So every reliever throws 95 miles an hour plus, a lot of them 100 miles an hour. That coupled with a high strike zone has led to a higher strikeout rate, along with hitters trying to drive the ball. The power is premium. Power hitting, power pitching equals more strikeouts.
Talking to David Cone, the Yes Yankee analyst, joining us on the program. You were a Yankee. You were a Met. If you were a Met fan, can you say, let's be patient? If, you know, Steve Cohen said, hey, I'm not going to act like you want me to. I'm not firing anybody. We're not doing anything crazy here. How do you preach patience with a team that's got a payroll as large as the Mets?
Really hard to do right now. the Atlanta Braves are a juggernaut running away with the East. You're 8.5 games out of the final wild card spot if you're the Mets right now. So if you're looking at the very final wild card spot, like the Philadelphia Phillies did last year and rode all the way to the World Series, they won 86 games and still got to the World Series. That's a long shot for the Mets right now. They have, according to betting odds or predictive odds that are out there, like less than a 5% chance right now just to make the playoffs. So that is in and of itself daunting. They really need to look at this trade deadline as sort of reconfiguring their roster, in my opinion. Sort of what pieces don't fit together, what pieces are kind of aging. They have some pretty good young players that have come up and helped, whether it's Brett Beatty at third base or Alvarez at the catching position. They have a couple of others that are on the way as well. That's the future for them. They sort of need to reconfigure their roster. They probably need to look for trade partners. I wouldn't be surprised to see even the Yankees and the Mets hook up in this trade deadline, because Billy Epler used to work for Brian Cashman. Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets, doesn't care where the trades come from. He doesn't have this sort of mentality, this anti-Yankee mentality. He's a businessman. So the days of the Wilpons owning the Mets and not trading with the Yankees are kind of over in my mind. So there could be a match there. If the Yankees need an outfielder, do they match up with somebody like a Starling Marte or something like that? You know, I think those are the type of deals the Mets need to look for at this trade deadline.
I'm wondering if 15 years from now, we look back on Shohei Ohtani and what he kind of birthed, that you will have these two-way players. That, you know, in high school, your shortstop is your pitcher and usually batting third in the lineup there. And I don't know if you were like that, but it feels like these guys grow up being hitters and being pitchers. Are we going to have, not a wave, but at least a few of these two-way players in Major League Baseball?
It's a great question, Dan. I think, yes, I think Shohei Ohtani is inspirational in that regard. He's a trailblazer. He's showing the way. And there's certainly, we saw kids in the College World Series this year that are two-way players that are throwing the ball in the upper 90s. You know, the left-hander for Florida that started that final game is one of those kids as well. So, yes, my answer is yes. We're going to see kids that try to do it, organizations that will bring them along in the minor leagues and kind of experiment with it and allow them to explore whether they can handle both or not. But why not? You know, Shohei Ohtani's the MVP because he plays such an important role on their team on both sides of the ball. So why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want that double value if you can develop that in your own system?
Should he get two salaries?
Interesting. Well, you know, what he should get is probably equity in the team that signs him, you know, at this point. I mean, if you're trying to sign Shohei Ohtani and you're the Anaheim Angels, you know, how do you entice him?
What would you do at the trade deadline? If they haven't agreed to anything, contract extension, not much has been made public here, but at some point the Angels have to have something in return if Shohei doesn't want to stay.
Yes, I believe that they need him to stay so badly that they need to hold on to him and hope they get into the playoffs and hope he becomes a postseason hero for them, at least get them in a position to win a wild card spot in the West, which they currently are very much in the running for. So, yes, you let that play out, because your best chance to sign Shohei Ohtani back is a long and deep postseason run with him and Mike Trout that kind of shows him, hey, you should stay right here. We're on the right move here. We're moving in the right direction. So, yeah. With that being said, there might be a blockbuster trade out there, Dan. You're right. I mean, you have to listen. You have to listen. If there's a blockbuster trade where you can really get an incredible value back, then you have to consider it. But I still believe they want to keep him. And the best way to keep him is to get to postseason and show him what it's like to have postseason ball at the Big A.
Great to talk to you as always, David. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Dan. Anytime.
It's David Cohn. 5-time World Series champ, and he's an analyst for the Yankees Yes Network. He threw his perfect game at Yankee Stadium against the Expos and back in 1999. Ellen in Wisconsin leads us off this hour. Good morning, Ellen. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to say, what a great topic. Baseball gets a bad rap, you know, but the mental toughness and concentration that it requires is often overlooked. I'm a bigger sports fan than my husband. I raise my kids telling them everything you need to learn about life you learn in baseball. Sometimes you have to sacrifice for the team. You know, the shortstop might hate the second baseman, but they still have to work together to turn a double play. And even when greatness happens, you know, when a pitcher throws a no-hitter, he turns around and thanks his fielders. So that's all I got.
All right. Well, thank you, Ellen. Thank you, Ellen. Yeah, you learn life through baseball. Jeremy in Indianapolis. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Dan. How's it going?
Great.
Awesome. Hey, I just was listening to the podcast from yesterday's show, and you guys were talking about Shohei Ohtani and with the trade deadline coming up, I was just kind of thinking, would it incentivize the Angels to try to convince him to just focus on hitting? I mean, I would think he could make a run at 73 at Barry Bonds, and that would be, well, worth paying him, you know, the $600 million contract.
Well, he's focused on hitting, and he's focused on pitching. And if I'm the Angels, I want Shohei to do what he wants to do. It's not like he's missing batting practice, therefore he's not putting in the time when he goes to the plate. You know, judging from those home runs, he's doing pretty well. I wouldn't mess with anything here. I go back to what I said yesterday. You know, we have this species known as pitchers, and we treat them differently than any other athlete in any other sport. It's like, oh, my God, did you get your long toss in today? Did you get your stretching in today? And when you think about it, Shohei Ohtani is showing that, hey, I can still do this. And, you know, I can have a regular day. His day job is a hitter. His weekend job is a pitcher. So one day out of the week, I got to concentrate on pitching. The other days, I'm a baseball player. You know, you go through the routine. You know, it's going to be infield practice. There's going to be batting practice. There'll be stretching, running, you know, all those things. But for the most part, you should be able to do both. If you're really good at a high level, you're a great pitcher and a great hitter, then why do you have to choose if you're able to do it? Plus, he could be changing the dynamic of the sport. Because, trust me, most of your great pitchers are also shortstops growing up and batting third in the lineup. They grew up being hitter. No, nobody grows up to say, hey, I just want to pitch. I don't want to hit. You grow up, you want to hit. And you're going to have the best arm. You're the shortstop, and you're going to be the pitcher. Shohei Ohtani is proving that you can do both and do both at a very high level. How many players can do that? I think in 15 years from now, we'll look back on this moment and we'll say, wow, look at the number of players. You might have a second baseman who's a middle relief pitcher or capable of doing that. Bring him in for an inning. Maybe, and pitchers are only going 5 innings for the most part. That's a quality start. You're not asking them to go 9. Go 5. Maybe go 6. Oh my God, he went 6. How many pitches? You could still be a hitter, everyday hitter, and you could be a pitcher. And what it does, you know, the excitement that it brings when you go out, oh, he's going to pitch and hit. It's pretty cool. Let's take a break. Get some more phone calls coming up. Back after this. Sleep Number, every great day starts the night before.
Sure does.
Thank you, Todd. Trouble falling asleep. Maybe you sleep too hot or too cold. Your partner snores like Seton's wife. They have thought of everything at Sleep Number. These smart beds, they learn how you sleep, and then you get to learn how to sleep better, and you feel more alert. Sleep Number smart beds individualize your sleep experience. The adjustable firmness on each side. So it's two beds in one. How about that? The ideal comfort support. And they will be able to help you understand, how do I get a deeper night's sleep? You'll be able to see how well you slept, get personalized insights for even better sleep. Sleep IQ technology. My Sleep Number setting is 75. It's sleep next level. Unlock your unique potential with a smart bed that can perform as well as you. The Sleep Number 360 Queen C2 Smart Bed. Now, only $899, you're going to save $200. Plus special financing for a limited time. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/Patrick. See store for details. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going to have the actor Adam Devine on the program tomorrow. He's in the Gemstones, isn't he?
Sure is.
Yeah. Thank you, Todd. And I believe Will Ferrell is calling in to let us know if he's going to join us in Dublin.
That's a very funny show right there.
Yes, it is.
Two very funny guys.
Yes. Adam Devine has a funny face. Or I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this. Like, he's not funny looking, but when you see him, you laugh. Like, he's a scene stealer.
Yes.
So can you say, is it a compliment to say you got a funny face? Yes, Todd?
I think a better way to pose it is, you know, when you look at him, you're like, you're anticipating something funny is going to come out of his mouth. You're like ready to laugh.
Yeah, but that doesn't like just slip off the tongue here. I'm trying to
but
say.
But it's better than someone saying, like, what are you saying? I got a funny face? I'm funny looking? What does that mean? It's, even if you have to elaborate a few extra words.
Yeah. I don't know. It's quicker if you say, you know, is it a compliment if I say you got a funny face?
I'm going to say no.
Okay. Thank you, Todd. Well, you got a funny face.
Thanks.
Hey, Paul.
Adam Devine's like a scene stealer. You know, like he was in Workaholics, that TV show forever.
Yeah.
He's also in Pitch Perfect. He was like that really funny guy who stole all the scenes.
Yeah, the funny face whenever he came on the screen.
Maybe he's kind of got a little Jack Black to him. Like,
ooh,
when he gets on this, you don't know what's going to happen, but he's like a kind of a home run hitter.
All right. He's going to join us on the program tomorrow. By the way, Todd, we didn't get to your poll questions. If you would like to, and this wasn't on purpose. I'm getting around to it now.
That's
that you
fine.
Had some suggestions earlier this morning.
Throwing a perfect game is truly an amazing athletic achievement. Impressive, but surely some luck involved, no? Isn't that big a deal? 23 other guys already did it, and it was against Oakland.
Okay.
A 17-year-old's biggest concern should be finding a balance between academic goals and social acceptance, getting rid of his or her acne, finding a boy or girlfriend, becoming more independent and responsible, leading the Chicago Blackhawks to the Stanley Cup.
So this is off of Connor Bedard going number one overall. Okay.
What should be a 17-year-old's biggest concern?
Is there anything else, Todd?
How are you spending NBA free agency eve? This is exciting. Hosting a party at my home, making fancy dinner reservations, partying in the middle of Times Square. A quiet evening, occasionally pondering which players may be going to a new team.
Do you believe anybody is doing one of the first three that you just
suggested?
Definitely not. Okay.
It's just to be silly. Because it's the eve. We get so excited about eves of things.
No, we don't.
I do then, I guess.
Well, then what are you going to do?
I'm going to do the latter. I'm going to spend a quiet evening, maybe order up a pizza.
You just told me you get excited.
I get excited, but not so much for the NBA free agency. Maybe NBA draft, NFL draft.
You're struggling here. You're struggling.
Yeah. I'm not going to stay in the middle of Times Square. There's no ball going down or anything like that. That was the silly
one. Great. I can't wait for your recap of NBA free agency, the start. How do you say to James Harden you don't want him back if you're the Philadelphia 76ers? Or you're like, oh, you're opting out? Yeah, Seton.
When are the Sixers ever going to find a player that they do want to keep other than Joel Embiid? Because other than that, they're running through just dozens of dudes who are like, yeah, no, this is the guy. Now, look, you got a pair. Everybody that comes in is then sent right out.
Yep. Feels like there's a big turnover. They got a new head coach. And maybe that's enough for James Harden. You know, Nick Nurse asked you to play defense. Regular season James Harden was wonderful last year. It was postseason James that gets you in trouble. Yeah, Paul.
Do you think the 76ers, if they sign, or I know they're considering signing him, whether he opts in or opts out, are they concerned about losing him for nothing and the public perception, as opposed to being more concerned of having
a team? Well, do you want to keep him or lose him?
I would prefer to not have him on my team at $40 million per year, however many years, whether it's 1, 2, or 3 years.
Yeah.
Why would you want to spend $100 million on a person where you're not sure he's helping you win or helping you lose? And I think that's fair.
Well, as he gets older, he can't be what he once was. You know, there's certain players that, you know, the Joker is not going to slow down because he was never sped up to slow down. Luka is not slowing down. Kawhi, only the injuries, but is the pace of, you know, his play. It's not like he's slowing down. With James Harden, you know, it was predicated on some things. Having that quick step, you know, getting some separation there. But 21-10, I mean, I'd embrace James Harden. Do I want to pay him $40 or $50 million? No. But, you know, that's the going rate. That's the problem. We're like, can you believe they're paying such and such $30 million? Yeah, there's only 13 guys to pay. And somebody else is making a whole lot of money. If you're paying them that much money, I'm guessing the owners are doing quite well. Therefore, when we look at this, you go, can you believe that this guy makes more in one year than Magic made his entire career? Yes. You know, it's the economics of the game. But James Harden, you know, Dame Lillard, I mean, I feel bad. If Dame Lillard stays in Portland, what's going to happen at ESPN? Like, people are, they're going to be panicking. Like, oh, my God, now what do we talk about? Every time I'm watching, it's like, oh, Dame time. You know, let's talk about Dame Lillard. I'm like, okay, I think we can all agree. Both parties should separate. That Dame should go someplace else. If he wants to win, that's important to him. And he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. And if you're Portland, you owe it to your fans to maybe get this right as you look at the future. And is the future now or is it in 3 years from now? Are you going to want to pay Dame Lillard $60 million when he's 36, 37 years of age? And the answer is no. But that's where you have to look at this and say, at what point do we just say, what is the best decision? And it feels like this is the conscious uncoupling that Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin had years ago. It's just like, no, we're good. We're going to go our separate ways. No animosity. Everything's good. No irreconcilable differences. We just decided that this was best for both of us. Now, I keep thinking that Tyler Hero is the guy that maybe if you're Portland, you take him, you get some other pieces here. They don't want to give up Bam Adebayo in Miami because Dame wants to play with Bam Adebayo if he would happen to leave. But that still seems like that's a hot top. Kyrie Irving is going to take meetings, reportedly, for free agency. And I'm thinking, is it a meeting if you're the only person in the meeting? You know, if he sets up a Zoom call and all of a sudden, you know, they'll be like, because I've done these interviews where you go, okay, next you're going to be talking to WBZ in Boston. Next up, you'll be talking to this place in Phoenix. And you do a radio tour, TV tour. Who's next? Kyrie, nobody's on right now, but, you know, we have time. Because who else is going to go, let's take a free agency meeting with Kyrie Irving here. Mark Cuban is on the call. Oh, okay. Hi, Mark. Yeah, we'd like you to stay because we gave up an awful lot and we'd really look embarrassed if we lost you as well. Yeah, Paul.
Going back to Portland, do you think Portland, if they were going to trade him, would have done it before the draft? So you know what options you have?
I think they were waiting until after the draft.
Okay.
But once again, there's varying reports on this. I thought they were going to do, if they did it, Zion and Dame would be traded before. Then these teams that would, but they wanted to see what you were going to do with that pick. Like, is Scoot Henderson going to be there at three? So now we're trading for Scoot Henderson. We get Scoot Henderson, or you have Scoot Henderson, we got Dame. You know, I thought that might be the logic here, that you knew the player who Portland was going to take, or that Charlotte was going to take, or whoever it might be. But, you know, Zion, do I still think he could be traded? I do. But I just don't think there's a great market for him because he hasn't been healthy. And then if he starts to play well, do you then trade him, or you do go, no, he's actually playing well? Yeah, see.
Why is it so difficult to get somebody to go play in Portland?
Oh, I don't think it is. It's just a young team. Now, who were you saying would not want to go play in Portland?
Well, okay, then maybe the better way to say it is, why is it so difficult to find some people to put around Dame?
Well, they have a young roster. They're trying to get some veterans in there, at least one. I think that's why they were trying to make a trade where they got Bam Adebayo.
Right. Yeah, but see, again, though, like they're trying to find a veteran, but they just can't. Why is it so hard?
I don't know what they're... Well, if I'm Miami, I'm not trading Bam Adebayo to Portland. So you get Scoot Henderson and we give up Bam Adebayo? Miami's already small. I don't want to give up Bam Adebayo. So I think it might be, what do you want? You know, what you're trying to get trade partners and you're trying to equal this up a little bit. And maybe that's the problem. Mm. But let me see. Oh, Fritzy sent this to me. Nick Wright, our good buddy, has a theory on how the Cavs could land both LeBron and Bronny James. Okay. Let's see. Nick Wright has a theory. It starts with the Cavs drafted Evan Mobley, 2021. And they drafted him out of USC, same university that Bronny is going to. And here is Nick Wright's hypothesis. Evan Mobley plays for the Cavs. Evan Mobley's father, Eric, is an assistant at USC. The Cavs traded away all their future first-round picks, except their 2024 first-round pick, which would be the year that Bronny could come out of school, and that's if he was a one-and-done. Nick Wright then went on to say that the Cavs are in need of a small forward and LeBron would be a perfect fit. Okay, so what else do you have beside a connection with Evan Mobley and his dad, USC? Would Bronny be available for the Cavs? Will Cleveland still have that pick? Can you afford to have Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, and LeBron James? I think I need a little more from that. Just because of Evan Mobley and his dad at USC, that LeBron would want to go back to Cleveland and bring Bronny with him. I mean, okay. Am I missing something there?
I mean, how many times can you go back?
I don't think this is happening. Look, it's good filler, and you know, God love Nick. He's you know, trying to come up with content for his show there on Fox Sports, and maybe it was a little bit of a stretch there, but the reason why LeBron and Bronny would go back is because Evan Mobley and his dad is at USC. Okay. Seems a little far-fetched. I think it's more likely that Bronny ends up in Orlando than, Cleveland. Yes, Paul?
Did we do a thing the other day, who has more national TV games this upcoming season, the Nuggets or the USC men's basketball team?
We did not ask that question.
I thought we kicked.
No,
that.
We did the Nuggets and.
Oh man, we did somebody else though.
Yeah.
Oh no, Spurs.
Oh, yeah. Nuggets Spurs.
Yes.
That's what we did.
And yeah, I said the Spurs might have more nationally televised games.
It's weird because college basketball, believe it or not, ESPN and Fox, but especially ESPN, they have total control over who's on the league. Has control more so in the partners. So like when Zion Williamson was a freshman, I still have my notes from it. He played 35 games for Duke. 31 of them were on national TV, basic cable.
Yeah.
That you could get. And then the next year, he had 11 games when his rookie year were on national TV.
Yeah.
They just couldn't get that many games. I bet you can get more attention, not attention, but playing college at USC, more national TV games.
Well, we're more curious about Bronny than we are Joker. We can appreciate Joker. That doesn't mean we want to watch the Joker play. And thankfully, you know, the basketball world got to see Joker play at a very high level, and he won a championship here. And nobody is going to ask that question ever again. Oh, I'm going to win a chance. Now it's Joel Embiid. Hey, won the MVP. These are the same things they said about Joker. Yeah, no postseason success. Same things they said about Giannis. Now it's on Joel Embiid. You're the MVP. Let's go. Let's produce. And rightfully so. That's what happens. That's the pecking order. And the fact that, you know, Joker, two MVPs, should have won a third, and then he wins his title. You're not going to nobody's going to question Giannis again about that. Luka hadn't won the MVP yet. But if he does, then it's going to be, hey, you're going to win a championship anytime soon. Yeah, Marv.
I can't wait to see how the Lakers and the USC schedule kind of stacks up against one another. Like, oh, they're playing, you know, USC's playing Duke. Oh, the Lakers are playing in Charlotte. Same, who knew the night before, something like that.
Oh, you think that they're going to match up that way?
Oh, you want to program something, have USC play blank at the Crypt, wherever it's going to be called next year, as a lead up to a Laker game, a special edition, back-to-back national
back-to-back.
TV. Might as well, hey, if you're going
to
embrace it, all in.
I don't think ESPN could handle that.
Oh,
TNT? Their heads would explode.
What time does the pregame start there?
Oh, now.
Right. 2 hours.
Like today.
Easy. Oh, double Bron?
Yeah. And get the high school kid. What is the little kid? Bryce?
Yeah.
Is it Bryce? Show his JV game or whatever.
No, he'll be high school.
Okay.
He'll be high school.
He went to a new school. He left Sierra Canyon.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's all over the internet. They
oh,
said.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, that's what the young kid said.
Where did he go?
No idea.
Is it closer to USC?
it might be.
Yeah. Okay.
Campbell Hall.
How about a triple header there?
There we go. We're programming.
Bryce, Bron, LeBron.
James gang night?
Oh, okay.
All right.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Bryce Maximus James?
The third.
Let's go.
Does he have a daughter playing softball or something?
Well, he has a daughter.
Let's get her in there, too.
He might have two daughters.
He's got one.
One daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Three Kings night? Well, how do we, what, we got to come up with a little phrase for that.
Okay. Yeah. I think that'd be good TV.
Can't wait for this. Why so much LeBron? Oh, you thought it was a lot then. There's a second LeBron coming.
We've got it times four now.
Yes. Get ready. Let's take a break. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, and we'll try to accomplish all of that next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Paulie Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
Of course, you know us as the host of the number one rated show in all of sports talk, the Paulie and Tony Fusco Show.
Yeah.
Now, the suits at Fox Sports Radio gave us this airtime because they wanted us to tell you how great our show is.
Why?
Yeah, instead of us doing that, let's just let our millions of fans do the talking.
Yeah, play the tape.
You don't know crap about sports. I mean, why am I even on this crap?
Whoa. That's the wrong tape.
Wrong tape.
Just forget that. Look, listen to the Paulie and Tony Fusco Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests we're going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This day in sports history coming up. What we learned, what's in store tomorrow. What kind of music are you going to play tomorrow, Marvin?
I think we decided, what, 90s?
Okay.
I think all five of us.
I'm supposed to pick out my favorite song from the 90s. Yeah. So the song that's the most 90s.
Yeah, I go with that.
All right. Is that good or bad? And do you guys have your song already picked out? Seton, do you have your song for tomorrow picked out?
No, I can't say that I do.
Okay, Todd?
I am still looking around as well.
Might be all that she wants is another. Was that from the 90s? Or is that
Ace of Base? Yeah.
Ace of Base.
Ace of Base.
That's a good call. Yeah. That's a great poll.
Kind of going with our Barbie theme, I feel like. That feels like something that could be in the Barbie movie soundtrack.
Paulie, do you have your 90s song?
Well, we already gave a rousing tribute to Limp Bizkit a few weeks ago on the show. Don't worry about it.
Still being.
I don't want to be redundant and do that again, but they are very 90s.
Mm. Rousing tribute.
Yeah. It resonated. It resonated in the 90s community.
They're in my canon.
Yes, Todd.
I think I may have to go Juicy, the Notorious B.I.G. That fell into 1994.
You're supposed to save it tomorrow.
Then you're supposed to guess like whose pick it was.
Is Creed 90s or early 2000s?
They're forever.
They are timeless.
Apologies.
Say that.
I apologize.
They are forever.
Except my apologies.
Ace of Base.
Hanson, those three kids.
I feel like Creed was a mid to late 90s post grunge movement.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Black Hole Sun, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Soundgarden.
Soundgarden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chris Cornell.
Yep.
Man, that's one of the great voices in rock history. Chris Cornell. That's a good voice. That's a good voice. Yes, Paul.
You know that band from the 90s, Bush, with Gavin Rossdale?
Yes.
Are they considered pretty good? They had some hits, right? Was he too good looking to like?
I think he cheated on Gwen Stefani, therefore that kind of hurt him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, now I'm not listening. What are you doing? I think they had one good album. Does that sound right? I remember having the CD of Bush.
Yeah, they had the one that had a bunch, that had like Glycerine and Everything Zen. It had like a bunch of probably their bigger songs.
Yeah. All right, well.
16 Stone, I think it's called.
Okay. All right, so I got to come up with a 90s song.
Yeah, so send them to me tonight.
Creed formed in 95 in Tallahassee, Florida, and then they really hit their stride. Florida. A couple years later.
Yeah. How old is Scott Stapp's son, whose name was Jagger? I remember he was in a baby carriage. We were playing golf at an event, and I was in his group. And I remember his wife, and they had a son. His name was Jagger.
Jagger Stapp is 25 years old.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
It's Jaeger.
It's Jaeger.
It's actually Jaeger.
Jaeger.
Stop.
It's not
Jaeger Stapp.
Mick Jagger. Because I think I don't remember anything else about that day playing golf other than he had a newborn named Jagger, and I had asked him, and he had said it was for Mick Jagger. Yes, Marv.
Is that from With Arms Wide Open? Is that who he's talking about? Like, he's like, well, I just heard.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
No, I don't know.
That's what that song is about. It's about learning that he's becoming a father.
Oh, okay.
I think. That makes a lot of sense, yeah. Marvin.
Okay. I have the lyrics. Well, I just heard the
Seems
news today.
My world is going to change.
I'm not singing them.
Please do.
Okay. Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm ready to be the man I have to be. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it seems like it's about a new baby.
Okay.
You like him more now, Scott Stapp.
Mm.
I actually have an original demo tape of that album with their phone number on it.
Mm.
From my wife was a DJ in Tallahassee at the time.
Mm.
And she's like one of the group of people that broke that band.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they gave her their number to her.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Because, you know, you pass out demo tapes and you're trying to get on the radio and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, last call for phone calls this day in sports history. Is Adam Devine a comedian or is he just an actor?
I think he's a hybrid, a slash.
Okay, because he's going to join us. I'm just not sure how to introduce him.
Actor-comedian, like we do with Sandler, actor-comedian.
Or is he comedian-actor?
You asked Sandler this once, and he goes, if you call me a comedian, I'd be fine.
Okay. Will Ferrell, I think, is going to join us to let us know. Now, he's an actor-comedian?
But if he had to boil it down to one.
I don't know if Will would be a comedian.
I think he'd be an actor.
I think he's an actor.
I don't know if he's ever done stand-up.
He's an improv guy, not a stand-up
guy. Oh, okay, yeah. And I think he's going to join us to talk about if he's going to join us in Dublin. I haven't heard back on any time there, Todd, that he's going to join us, but just letting you know.
Cool.
All righty. Steve in Syracuse. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Well, as far as the perfect game, great accomplishment, but I think it's going to happen more often because of the extreme lack of contact hitters. There's no more Rod Carews or Tony Gwynn. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Wade Boggs. I mean, run down the list there. Nobody cares about hitting, you know, getting base hits. That's why I thought there would be more no-hitters because everybody's swinging hard. Whereas, you know, it used to be if you were getting no hit in the sixth inning, you were laying down a bunt. Like, whatever it took, you were going to break up that no-hitter. This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have?
Not a lot today. 1897, the Chicago Cubs scored 36 runs in a game against Louisville. They had a team back then. That was a record for runs in a game. 1941, Joe DiMaggio got his 42nd base hit in a row, broke George Sisler's record from 1922. And 1958, Brazil defeated Sweden in the World Cup. Pele, at age 17, scored a goal in the game.
It was on this date in 2006, the NBA introduced a new synthetic game ball, and it didn't last long because they changed back to the leather ball. I have one of those synthetic basketballs right there, right as you come into the my office here in the man cave. I didn't like it at all. Too slick. Here's one. On this date in 1905, a scene out of a famous movie took place. So it took place before the scene out of the famous movie took place.
What was the year?
1905. Sports movie. Yeah, Paulin?
The Natural, where the guy got shot by the girl in the hotel from the scene from The Natural?
No.
So wait, this is from a movie in 1905?
No.
Is there a movie that took place in 1905?
Yes, it became a scene in a movie.
Is that a horse, like War Admiral or whatever?
No.
No.
No. Yeah. Outfielder Archibald Moonlight Graham plays one inning, and the Giants win over Brooklyn. The ninth inning ended with Graham in the on-deck circle. He is later immortalized in the novel and movie Field of Dreams. Mm. He becomes a doctor. I think we all remember that.
What was his wife's name? He's going to be mad at him.
For getting home so late.
Oh. I think it's Vanessa. Something like that.
Vanessa would be very upset if I get home. what did we learn on the program? Todd, I'll start with you. It's driving Paulie crazy. Todd?
David Cohen was most worried about Vladimir Guerrero and Jose Vidro in the Expos lineup during his perfect game in July of 99.
Seton O'Connor.
Do you want me to tell you what her name was, Paul?
Make me wait.
Okay.
Marvin, what did you learn?
We remember Jim Joyce, but not the pitcher.
Armando Galarraga. Seton?
I learned who Moonlight Graham's wife was.
I'm going to go with Betsy.
Oh, no. Alicia.
No. What we learned brought to you by Discover Credit Cards. Alicia's going to be so upset.
Yeah.
Discover Credit Cards. Double all the cash back you've earned. Cash back from trips and restaurants. See terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, the all-around support. Going to do it again tomorrow. It's a Meat Friday. Hope you'll join us. Until then, for Fritzy, Seton, Marv, Paulie, yours truly. Talk to you then.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.